Welcome to Master Your Relationship Mind Drama, teaching you how to manage your mind so that you can create relationships you love. And now, here's your host, certified relationship coach and expert in all things love, friendship, and mind drama, Rebecca Orr.
Hi guys, how is everybody doing today? We moved house at the weekend, which was a little bit stressful, but it also went really well, and I'm absolutely loving the new house and my new office, although it's really weird recording in this room now because I feel like there's a slight echo. I don't know. The room's slightly bigger, it's not that much bigger, but I don't know, it feels very strange to me acoustically. The only issue I'm having is we have to keep our cat Jessie in for 3 weeks or so before letting her out, which is apparently so that she doesn't get confused and wander back to our old house. And she's hating it already. And she's such an outdoor cat and she just keeps staring out of the window and it's just so sad. And I'm genuinely having to manage my mind a lot around the guilt and feeling like a terrible cat mom. So that's my life this week, fighting the urge to people please my cat and just slowly getting pictures up on the wall, which is nice. But for this week, I wanted to talk about a bit of a different topic. And for those of you that listened to last week's episode, you'll remember me saying that I'd celebrated 3 years being alcohol free, which I'm really pleased with and proud of. And so I wanted to do an episode talking about the lessons I've learned over the last 3 years. And all the ways that kind of relates to my journey and my thought work journey and all of these tools and concepts. But don't worry, this isn't me trying to suggest that you should all give up alcohol. That is not what I'm saying at all. And if you know that's not something that's at all on your agenda, I still really encourage you to not skip this episode because the lessons I share are going to be relevant to you with or without alcohol in your life. Okay, so let's dive in. Let's start with why I gave up alcohol. So giving up alcohol has really become a lot more normalized over the last few years. A lot of people did that over lockdown, over the COVID situation, and a lot of people are becoming more and more intentional about their use of alcohol and drinking more mindfully, which is really amazing. It's a great shift that we're all kind of making, or that a lot of people are making. But for all of us, really, were kind of brought up surrounded by alcohol and almost encouraged to have a bit of a problematic relationship with alcohol, which is really what happened to me. And 3 years ago, when I decided to quit, my relationship with alcohol was not good. I wasn't waking up pouring vodka on my Cheerios or anything like that, but I was dependent on it. And when I was drinking with friends or family, I'd constantly be watching their glasses to see how much they had left before we could then go and top up our glasses some more. And I'd feel that real pang of anxiety and dread when a bottle of Prosecco had come to the end and we weren't going to be getting another one. And I wasn't able to stop drinking once I'd started. And that was a big thing for me. I found it absolutely inconceivable how some people could just go out for a couple of drinks and make it home at a reasonable hour. Because for me, a couple of drinks always turned into a huge night out and being awake until 6 a.m. And besides the physical impact that this was having on my body in terms of tiredness and hangovers, and of course the invisible longer term impacts it probably was having on my insides, the bigger issue for me was the impact on who I was showing up as. So we all know alcohol impacts our brains. And it causes alterations to the neurons and the pathways in your mind, impacting your judgment and your memory and your usual thought patterns, how you would usually think and feel and respond to situations. Meaning when I was drinking, I lost control over who I was being. And the version of me that had had a few too many Proseccos was not a person I liked very much. And after a few weeks of already considering how my relationship with alcohol was negatively impacting my life and kind of feeling a bit low about that, it took one particular night to really prove that to me, where I was finally like, okay, enough is enough. I'm done. I can't keep having this substance in my life that comes at such a cost. The cost being my physical and mental health and the health of my relationships. I wanted to feel in control of myself again. I wanted to be able to show up to my life in a way that made me proud and felt aligned with who I wanted to be, not a version of me that I didn't like and that made terrible choices. I also wanted to be present for my beautiful niece and nephew, who had so far been getting a hungover version of me on Sundays, who wasn't able to run around and play with them and make up dance routines with them because she was busy throwing up or wanting to lie down. So overall, the decision I made to give up alcohol was one of the best decisions I ever made. And so now I'll dive into some of the key things I've learned over these last few years. So the first realization I had after giving up alcohol was how much alcohol supports our instinct as humans to avoid our emotions. Think about the ads you see about alcohol and the ways it's embedded into our society. You know, are you sad? Have a drink to commiserate. Are you happy? Have a drink to celebrate. Is it a special occasion? Let's do a toast with champagne. It's such a huge part of our lives that we don't ever really question. We're just brought up with it. And for a lot of us, when we've had a stressful day, the first thing we want is a glass of something, a beer, a glass of wine, whatever it is. Or if we're feeling nervous before an event, we have a glass of wine to take the edge off and calm our nerves. And as you'll have heard me talk about on previous episodes, we as humans are wired to avoid negative emotion. Our brains are wired to guide us towards positive emotion, away from negative. And alcohol enables us to do just that. It numbs the sensations of our negative emotions and it gives us a rush of dopamine, which is pleasurable to the brain and helps us to get out of the discomfort of actually feeling what we're feeling, of what's real for us. And I realized this when I quit alcohol, just how much I was drinking instead of feeling. Drinking instead of facing the negative thought patterns that were creating my anxiety and insecurity. I was drinking over the anxiety and insecurity instead. And so what I've gotten very good at over the last 3 years is feeling discomfort, which for some of you, you'll be like, that does not sound like a win. But let me tell you why it is. Because when I was drinking to avoid the discomfort of my negative emotion, yes, I avoided it for that evening, but it didn't go away. It was right there waiting for me the next morning, usually with a vengeance and accompanied by a hangover. The insecure thoughts may have been drowned out for 12 hours by alcohol, but they were louder than ever the following day. But over the last 3 years, without the buffering and numbing of alcohol, I've had to actually sit and get to know myself in my brain. I've been able to actually understand the thoughts creating these emotions and address them. And it's actually helped change my relationship to my negative emotions, which is something that I help my clients do in their sessions, not by giving up drinking. That's not something that's a niche of mine or that I coach on in any way. But what I do coach on is helping people change their relationship with their minds and their emotions so that they no longer resist them or avoid them or react to them in ways that don't serve them. And so I teach a technique called processing emotions, which enables you to really allow the sensations of negative emotions to be in your body, to rise, peak, and dissipate and move through you. And what you learn when you're willing to be uncomfortable and actually feel these emotions instead of running away from them is that they aren't actually as terrible as you may think. Sure, they're not a spa day, but they aren't as intense as they are when you're resisting them. It's actually the resisting of them and trying to numb them out that actually makes them feel so much worse. And that was definitely something I learned once I gave up alcohol. And over the last 3 years, my entire relationship to negative emotions has changed for the better. Now I can feel negative emotion without rushing to try and fix it or get rid of it, without reaching for a bottle of wine or frantically trying to text someone to get reassurance or doing something that I later regret. I can just feel the sensations in my body and let them be. I can tolerate them so much better now. And then I can intentionally decide how I want to move forward. And another lesson I've learned over the last 3 years is how much other people's opinions do not create our emotions and how it's always our own thoughts about ourselves that do. And I'll explain what I mean by that. When I first gave up drinking, I had a few friends not be too supportive about it. One in particular was quite negative about me giving up drinking and would make comments about me being boring, saying how this better not last and she didn't like it and just things like that. Now, when I first gave up alcohol, I felt really insecure and nervous about it. I was so worried people would think I was boring and a loser and not fun. And then when my friend said things like that to me, naturally my mind was like, see, it's true. Someone said it, so it's true. But then over time, as I worked on my own thoughts about not drinking and my own belief on how not drinking was amazing, as that grew, suddenly people's words had very little impact on me. And this is a story I often use to help my clients in sessions today, whether it's a negative comment from their boss that they're struggling with, or a friend, or their partner, or a parent, whatever the comment is, really asking ourselves, how am I agreeing with them right now, is really important. Because when you feel terrible about something someone said to you, on some level, you are likely agreeing with them. So just like when my friend had said to me, you're boring for not drinking, my brain had said, yeah, she's right. Maybe it's true. Maybe I am boring. And that felt shameful and terrible. It was my own thought. It was me agreeing with her mentally that created that shame. Whereas now, if someone says I'm boring for not drinking, I don't feel any shame at all. I do not feel terrible. Why? Because my belief about them being right has completely changed. I no longer think that's true. I don't agree with them. I now don't believe it's boring to not drink. I actually think it's a really interesting thing about me. I think it actually makes me pretty cool. I think not drinking actually enables me to be and have more fun in my life than drinking ever did. So now the same words do not have any impact on me, because it was never their words impacting me in the first place. It was always my own thoughts, what I made their words mean and how I believed them. So think about that in your own lives, and it doesn't have to be anything to do with drinking, but think about where someone's opinion of you or words are having an impact on you, and really consider, what is my thought here? Where am I agreeing with them? And what am I making their opinion mean about me? Another lesson I learned from giving up alcohol is that it's okay for friendships and relationships to change and evolve. As we change, our connections with others may also change. For me, my shared interest with some friends was drinking and partying. So as I changed, and that was no longer an interest of mine, of course the dynamic of the friendship changed too. And as I previously had a lot of friendship anxiety, that would have been something that really terrified me. But what the last 3 years has shown me is that change is a normal part of relationships. And clinging on to the way things were only prevents us from evolving into who we want to be. Now, that doesn't mean that I got rid of all my friends and got completely new ones, of course not. There's only really been one friend that I now no longer see or speak to. The same one that I was talking about before. And our friendship really did center around drinking together. So that kind of makes sense that now that that isn't a big part of my life, that our friendship wouldn't have the same kind of dynamic or wouldn't still have the same strength. Other friendships have changed in a beautiful way and evolved in the same way that I have. A group of friends that I used to work with and go on nights out with now are a group of friends that I just meet for dinners. And they still drink at the table. I don't, but our friendship is still there, even though our once shared interest now has changed for me. We still have so many ways to connect and things to connect over. I've also made new friends over the last 3 years and put myself out there to meet new people and try new activities that I never thought I'd try. And something else that I really had to learn was letting go of my manuals for how I wanted other people to react to me being sober. And you can think about this in terms of a decision you've made. Maybe you've decided that you want to change jobs or start your own business or move abroad or whatever it might be. You've made a decision and maybe some people are not very happy with it. And so when I stopped drinking, some of my family members really did not get it. And they still do not really get me not drinking. They all love it. Some of them drink daily. So me being alcohol free doesn't really make any sense to them. And when I first quit, they of course offered me their opinions and sometimes called me boring. And some of them still ask me if I want vodka in my Diet Coke at family events after 3 years of not drinking. And at first, this was quite frustrating. And of course, by that I mean my thoughts about their behavior were very frustrating to me. I believed they should get it, that they should understand it. I told myself if they cared about me, they'd be more supportive. They should want to celebrate my soberversaries with me and get me a card and tell me they're happy for me. I totally had manuals for how I'd love my family to react to my sobriety. For those of you that are just tuning into this podcast, when I say manuals, I mean our expectations of others. It's like our ideas for how we want them to behave. And I do a whole other podcast on that, so definitely go check it out because manuals is a really great concept to look into. But that's what I mean when I say manuals. It's like our ideas and expectations for other people. And so I had to learn to accept them for exactly who they are and let go of my manuals for who I thought they should be. I had to question my brain on what I was making their comments mean. Often I was making it mean they didn't care. And when I questioned that, I could see that that wasn't actually true at all. My family totally love and care about me. And they also have their own beliefs about alcohol embedded into their brain because of society that of course impacts their response. Their story about alcohol and its importance actually has no relation to how much they care about me or love me. And I didn't need to make their thoughts about alcohol and the way they shared them impact our relationship at all. I could accept their point of view and understand it and see why their brain would have that point of view and still love them and still believe the complete opposite and that this was the best decision I ever made. And I want you to invite yourself to kind of consider where that lesson might apply in your own life. You know, where might you be wanting someone to think the same way as you or agree with you about something or support you about something that when their human brain is just not capable of seeing it in that way? And how can you actually separate that out from you and let that be their experience and let that be their brain's way of thinking about that thing without it taking away from the connection you feel for them, without it meaning that they don't care about you or you don't care about them? And I sometimes wanted them to be proud of me. And so I felt hurt when I didn't get the impression that they were. And when I dug into that, I realized that while I couldn't control how proud they felt about me or their feelings about me not drinking, I could still be proud of me. I could give myself the validation and approval and the pride that I was hoping to get secondhand from them. I could be my own source of that, which totally took the pressure off needing them to respond in a certain way. And finally, and most importantly, the most important thing that's happened over the last 3 years is I've been able to really face my thoughts about myself. The reason I drank was to drown out the mean, anxious voices in my head, telling me I wasn't good enough and that I was going to lose everyone in my life and that nobody really liked me. But by not drinking, I had to come face to face with that voice. I had to really listen to it for once and understand it. Not listen to it as in agree with it, as in really hear what it was saying and understand the impact that was having on me. I was able to get to know it. And through working with some amazing coaches, I was able to then change it. I was able to totally change my relationship to it and rewire my whole perception of myself and start to not only like, but love myself, which really has been the biggest gift that not drinking has ever given to me. And you don't have to stop drinking to do that work. So don't panic. If you love a glass of wine, I'm not here to tell you that you have to stop doing that. You can totally do this work, whether you give up alcohol or not. Learning to sit and feel your emotions and spend time facing and questioning that mean voice in your brain and the sentences in your mind is all work that you can still do. And it's work I highly recommend you do. Because your relationship with yourself is the one relationship you'll have for life. So making it a beautiful, supportive, and loving one should be everybody's top priority. And that's why I love the work I do with my clients, because I get to watch each of them, whether they're one-on-one clients or clients in my group coaching program, I get to watch each of them slowly start to poke holes in their current self-concept and create belief systems that feel amazing and create security and confidence. And it's such a beautiful thing to witness. And for me, a big part of working on my relationship with myself also involved loving and forgiving the past version of me who hadn't always shown up in the way I would have liked. And this is something I've coached a few clients on recently, nothing alcohol related. It was just more situations where they felt a lot of shame and regret about the ways they've acted in their past relationships. And I think it's so important that we work on our relationship to that past version of ourselves, who was just doing the best that they could with the resources and knowledge that they had at the time. My past self, while not always getting it right, was doing her best. And actually, her biggest fuck-ups were supposed to happen exactly the way they did. And I truly believe that. It's crazy. I can now actually be grateful for some of the things that I felt the most shame and regret about, because I know that if they hadn't happened, I wouldn't have evolved into the person that I am today. And I want to offer you that the same is true for you. For the things you feel the most shame and regret about, how are those moments actually important lessons that you really grew from? How were those things necessary for you to learn and evolve? Who is the future version of you or the present version of you that grew and evolved from that thing happening? Be grateful for your messy, imperfect journey. You're on this planet to learn, grow, and evolve. And if you don't ever make mistakes that you learn from, you're just going to leave the planet the exact same person you were when you came. And, you know, that means we can see every bump in the road. It's actually a really necessary, crucial part of our journeys. And I promise you, your relationship with your past self will become so much stronger when you do that. So to summarize, I'm so proud of myself and grateful to the past version of me that gave up alcohol and paved the way for the future me who is now here talking to you. Okay, guys, that's all I've got for you today. I hope it was helpful. Can I ask you to do a little something for me? Could you go ahead and give the podcast a little rating on whatever platform you're listening from? This is how I can keep reaching more people and spreading the word of this work. And then also maybe go ahead and share it with a friend that you think would really enjoy it. And finally, if you're listening to this and you've made it all the way to the end, and this is really resonating with you, the way I talk about relationships resonates and the way I talk about managing your mind, I think you'd love my 12-week group coaching program, Master Your Relationship Mind Drama. And this is where we dig into all the tools and concepts that I teach you on this podcast, but on a deeper level. And I teach you how to manage your mind and emotional experience in all kinds of relationships and situations without trying to control or micromanage your friends, family, partner, or see the future. If you think that that could be for you, it's not going to be launching until September, but you will want to go and get yourself on the wait list just to make sure that you don't miss any information about it and to make sure that you don't miss out on the 24-hour discount that I'll be launching as soon as doors open. So head to the information section of this episode and I'll drop the link in there so that you can get on the wait list. And I'll also pop the link for the details about the program. And if you have any questions about the program, be sure to come and find me on Instagram at Rebecca Orr Coaching, or is spelled O-R-E, and I will answer all of the questions you have. Okay, guys, I hope you all have an amazing weekend and I'll speak to you all next week. Bye.
If you're loving this podcast, you can also hang out with Rebecca on Instagram and TikTok at Rebecca Orr Coaching. Don't forget to sign up to her email list for exclusive freebies and for more information on her one-to-one and group coaching programs.